Durham brings it cross mid-court. He's getting harassed by Evans. They still have fouls to give Cheshire. Here's Sloane to the basket. Out to Onwaz. Sloane in the corner for the win. Oh! Can you believe it? David Sloane wins it on the buzzer. And the Caledonian Gladiators go wild.
Wow, they got exactly what they wanted. They got their leading scorer open in the corner. And this time, he delivered. David Sloane. Career.
Right, we're now going to head into our Gladcast basketball awards for this season. I've messaged the three on the show today. They're kind of their nominations, their votes, or whoever they're going to be. So these guys don't actually know where this is going. We've got awards for each team, BBL and WBBL. We have got our MVP, our most improved player throughout the season. We've got our young player of the year. We've got game of the season. And then we've also going to have a discussion around about who we think should be WBBL and BBL season MVP. So the first one we're going to look at is for BBL Gladiators MVP. The nominees or the top three votes went to Farrelly Hodgic, David Sloane, and Prince Onwaz. All right. So the winner of the first ever Gladcast BBL MVP is Prince Onwaz.
Oh, like it.
All three of us selected Prince in our choices.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
I think so. If Prince has kind of been that guy who's, you know what you're going to get. Defensively, he's been brilliant. He brings a lot to the team. He scored some big buckets. Trophy finals, a standout one where he scored some really important baskets. And both on and off the court, he holds himself really well. He's a great guy to get who I think we've all got to know quite well.
Prince Onwaz is the glue guy in that team. Like, he's the guy that if someone's having an off night or if someone else is having a good night, he just knows the role that he needs to play to whatever the game situation is. And that's why I picked him.
Yeah. Maybe doesn't do it numbers-wise, but his impact everywhere on the floor is very much felt. So on the WBBL nominees for Gladiators MVP, we have got top three, Chantel Handy, Taya Adams, and Erin McCarrigan. All right, Rona was in on this one as well. So the WBBL MVP is Erin.
Yay. I think it was such a tight contest. So when you're looking at it and then you're breaking down stats. But I know, I mean, given playing my cards, but I went for Erin. So I just think, again, like you're talking about Prince, and I would agree on the guy's side. Again, she just gets stuff done and she quietly goes about her job. And she is the captain as well. And she does all of that stuff. But it's a tough call because, like you say, you've got so many of the girls doing everything you would need from an MVP. Tough one to call, but I'm glad you called it, Grant.
Erin leads the team in scoring. We've seen her hit some really important buckets. She also shoots almost 50% from three this season, which was even more staggering. I think that's just brilliant. So well done to Erin on winning the WBBL Gladiators Gladcast MVP award as well.
And just one other thing on that, sorry. She's also played every game. Like, and that's not bad considering she's holding down a full-time job. And if you know Erin, she had quite a terrible foot injury, which is why she had some time out from the game. I think snapped a tendon in her foot, representing GB, the 3x3. And yeah, the fact she's managing the injury and the load and playing, I'm like, I take my hat off to her because that's a tough old schedule to be doing that on top of a full-time job.
Really commendable. I mean, since we're talking through them, I did go. Now again, BBL and WBBL rookie, so maybe that's figured into it. I don't know. And probably delegitimizes any of my choices somewhat. But this is the first season that I've got to see Chantel Handy play basketball, and I think she is an absolute Rolls Royce player. And it's a joy to watch her. And me, as a guy who fell in love with the sport via Stephen Curry revolutionising it, someone that just shoots the three ball that beautifully, I have all the time in the world for. But aye, Erin, a deserved winner as well. She is the heart and soul of this basketball team, and there would be probably no better narrative arc in female basketball in this country than if in the first year, like even with, like, I mean, it would be two amazing stories if you had David Sloan's buzzer beater for the men to end 20 years of hurt, and then in the women's side, Erin McGarrigan, who has sort of grown with the club just like throughout her basketball playing career in life, and the club has kind of grown alongside her, and then in the first year of the new project and the new era, carrying them to playoff glory as the skipper would be just beautiful.
And I've also seen pictures of her wielding that sword about, so you don't want to mess with her.
No.
Definitely not.
That sword will be with it. If they make the final, that sword's going with them, I can guarantee you on that one.
How's that getting done a plane? That's what I want to know.
Who's taking a plane?
We'll get through the metal scanners at the O2 with it.
No, probably not, but we'll find a way.
Steve will get it in.
Of course he will. But no, props to Erin. Like, she was very well deserved. She was in my, one of my first picks for it. She was just phenomenal. She's been one of the consistent factors all year, as you guys have already said. And if she can help lead that team to a win, it'd be phenomenal. She would be in the quite a nice trend, actually, because that would be with Pride as well. Caledonia Pride in their first year made the trophy final. So it'd be a nice sort of cycle of whenever a Caledonia team enters the WBL, they make a final in the first year. So it'd be a nice little routine to continue with that one.
Always a narrative. Always a narrative. I love
that. I love a narrative. I'm a writer. I love a narrative.
So let's jump on. We've got most improved player. We'll start with the girls team this time. And so in the WBBL, our nominees were Taya Adams, Abby Wolf, and Zoe Sharp. So three very deserving nominees. And the winner of this one is Taya Adams. So Taya wins the GLADcast Most Improved Player for the season.
I think I'm going to be controversial here. I feel like Most Improved is always an icky category because it makes you feel like you've not been very good. Whereas I see it as the flip, just as in she has grown and got even better. There's a reason she was at Oregon State, you know, playing. Absolutely. There's a reason she's got a stellar college career. It's not that, yeah, I think whenever people get maybe most improved, they're like, what? Was I not very capable? But whereas with her, her growth, you know, she wasn't necessarily in the start rotation, but that's not necessarily a sort of pointer of where you're at. But the way she's gone in, and there's been some games, there was a Cardiff away game, and she was just carrying the team. I think she had 19 of the team's like 24 points at one point. And she's someone who I feel has really grown in her role. So I think most growth player, you know, as in, and she's adapted to being overseas and all the things that come with that. But yeah, like I say, she was definitely up there with my MVP choices as well. But I think, yeah, excellent work from her as the season's gone on and sort of matured in her style of gameplay and learning to carry the team when needs.
So the past 10 games, the fewest points she has scored is, so basically since the London win, the fewest points she scored is 11, and the most she scored is 23, and everything else is kind of mid-teens. She's kind of been the kind of leader scoring-wise in a lot of games. Her 23 points against Cardiff, 16 against the Riders, 15 against the London Lions when it was up here, and then 13 big points against Cardiff at the weekend, I think. Since she kind of sat out a couple of games.
Now, just on that note, during that game at the Copper Box, she played through a very serious injury to be part of that team that produced that historic win. So that's evidence of Taya Adams' tenacity. Getting to the basket and attacking, she is one of the most frightening forces in the WBBL. She's very tenacious. She's got a great attitude. Obviously, her dad's right. I've mentioned that a few times in the commentaries. Her dad's a Super Bowl winner, Sam, and she's definitely got that same sporting steel that he's got. And I think that's indicative. But the reason I think she was deserving of the most improved player is, and I think Rona was quite right, it's not that she came in and she was rubbish at all. She came in and she was of a very good level to start with, but I just feel that she's not having to rely on those fighting qualities and her natural basketball ability as much now. She's pacing the game better. She's calmer a lot of the time, even though she's still got that dog in her. She's very calm, and she's playing in a way where it seems just a little bit more measured and calculated, and maybe you could say more mature from a playing standpoint. So that's why I think I've just seen her go on a journey, and it's been a pleasure to observe it this season. And yeah, well done to her. Well done, everyone, but well done her on that award.
Definitely. I think I kind of agree with Rowan on that point regarding the most improved. Like, in other leagues, most improved is typically a player that's improved from year to year. But because of how our league kind of works, we're not seen as a destination league. We're seen as a transition league more than most. So we often are relying on first-year players and how well they develop. And I think from Taya's growth from the start of the season to now has been phenomenal. She's a phenomenal player from when we first arrived. We saw that from the first game she stepped on the court. But she's just got better and better, and she gels even better with this team as the season's gone on. She fits into the system better. She's contributing in various ways that maybe you wouldn't have initially thought at the start of the season, and she's proving that she's a vital part of the team is when it, in the games that matter most.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and what a deserved winner that one is. So, well done to him winning the Gladcast WBBL Most Improved Player. So, on the BBL side, our nominees are Patrick Tappe, Kyle Jimenez, and Fraser Malcolm. This was split by three of us, right? So I had to call in a special vote, and I messaged Sean Skelly, the GM, for his deciding vote. So Sean picked Kyle Jimenez. So Kyle Jimenez wins the BBL Most Improved Player for Gladcast. So from my point of view, you've seen that kind of development from Kyle. We saw him kind of burst into our screens during the 3-on-3 in the summer in Birmingham. He then had probably a slow start dealing with kind of injury coming out of the Commonwealth Games to latterly being a massive part of our starting five. He doesn't always maybe put the points up on the board, but he's actually one of our best shooters from three, for example. But he's just that guy. You see his tenacity in defense, does the all arguably defends the kind of strongest guard of the opposition, and yeah, doesn't give up. And you see what you do physically, blood, sweat, and tears as he dives about the court. So for me, I think he's definitely a worthwhile winner.
I think another value that Kyle's really brought beyond just his stats on the court is how much he stepped up as a leader on the court as well. Like, start of the season, you could see that you're relying very heavily on the likes of your more veteran players to take the charge. But as the season's gone on, Kyle has been the first point of contact who's constantly talking with Gareth while on the court. He's directing the plays, he's directing the guys, he's communicating constantly with everybody to dictate the pace, which from someone that is a point guard himself and really likes that position, that's what I want from a point guard, to be able to take that command. And Kyle's done that as the season's gone, he's gone better and better. And as you said, he exploded onto everyone's screens. He was a massive part of the Commonwealth Games push. As the seasons have gone on, across NBL and BBL, he has continued to improve. And it makes sense to do it in a Scottish team that he's having this peak, because he's around guys, he knows he's comfortable here, and he's just got better and better as he's gone on. And having experienced guys like Johnny and Fraser that have been involved in the system, and having a head coach who knows Scottish basketball like Gareth does, he can only improve from year to year.
Absolutely. Hodgie, your take?
Kyle Jimenez has GPS in his head when he's playing basketball. He is a player that, if there's a guy behind him making a cut that I can't see when I'm looking right at it from a high vantage point commentating, Kyle Jimenez has anticipated that and delivered it right into his hands at the perfect height for him to go and dunk it. Or if someone's moved into the right area for a shot, very often it's going to be right in the shooting pocket for him just to shoot it nice and quickly. And yeah, the defensive side of his game has been good for me to observe that side of it. Sometimes when you're commentating, you kind of get carried away in the action. So it's been nice for me in the games where I've been watching, where I've not been doing that I've been able to maybe focus and zero in on some of the players' abilities that I would sometimes lose, because part of the joy of enjoying live sport is sometimes you don't need to watch the action as a whole and you can just watch an individual. And I've done that twice with Kyle Jimenez this season. And it's been interesting to see how he uses his presence on court, because he doesn't, he's not influential necessarily in the way that you would imagine a conventional leader to be, and that it's like quite demonstrative or vocal or whatever. But he just seems to say the right things to his teammates at the right times. And his understanding of space, both of his teammates and where he should be in relation to everyone else, is why he started a lot of games for me this year. Because if you play David Sloan and then you play Aljamie Durham together, then there needs to be a real calculation as to who's going to be ball handling when and things like that. Whereas with Kyle Jimenez, what he's great at is by not doing too much, which allows other people to do stuff. So it's almost addition by subtraction, by him knowing what he needs to do, sometimes almost keeping out of the way offensively to allow other players to do their stuff, especially with these big hybrid, versatile, crazy wings that the men's team's got. And I think his knowledge to do that and his intelligence at such a young age to understand not just his game, but what the team needs, is fantastic. So well done on the award. And yeah, I can definitely see why it was given.
Brilliant. So let's move on next category. We have got game or moment of the season. Let's go with the WBBL side first. Loads of different ones came back. We had the last game against Essex, which kind of clinched that second place. And the other one was obviously breaking London's streak. So there's probably no surprise that game of the season for the WBBL was the win in London at the Copper Box.
Yeah. Right, how was this judged? Because I don't think I sent any submissions for this.
You missed that one out, Hodgie. You missed that one out from your list.
Ah, okay. Yeah, well, I mean, an obvious choice, but a very valid one.
I also cheated. I went Lions away, but I went Eagles at home, because you can't get the same vibe when you're not there. But obviously, the Lions game was awesome. But I thought the Eagles game, which was the opening game of the season, and the, you know, we blew Eagles out the water, and just to see it all come together, I thought that was a pretty special game for the season. So that was kind of like, we're here, we've arrived, this is what we're going to do. And having gone through pre-season with the team, if anything, it made game night easy after the 40 bazillion million training sessions and runs and everything else we've gone through. Just felt like that because I'm too old. But yeah, so that was my selections anyway. But I think I just wish I'd been at the Copper Box for that game. You're just like watching it and re-watching it. Just, it must have been phenomenal.
And it's one of those games as well. I remember watching it. It was actually a game that I'd, in my house, forfeited the big telly to my daughter to watch probably some Disney film. But she actually ended up watching the whole fourth quarter, the laptop screen with me. And that kind of sums up for me what that game was. Like, she sensed that excitement for me as that game, obviously London kind of came back into it. But what an absolutely grueling fixture it was. It kind of led throughout it. London brought it back. You thought, oh no, London have pulled back. Girls, like, their superstar team that they've got down there, they're just going to pull away. But it was the tenacity of Erin. Abbey played phenomenal that first half down there. And obviously Chantelle Handy knocking down those three throws, but then also putting in that big defensive stop at the end.
See, on that note, though, just what you're saying about your daughter, that's exactly what this club should be doing. It should be inspiring people to engage with basketball, right? And I think that kind of thing is evidence. It's almost more important than what the club achieves tangibly if people are actually going to be getting into this sport via the achievements of the team. That is what it's all about, right?
Absolutely. And like, for example, I always ask her, do you want to go to the game? Do you want to come with me? And some weeks she said yes, and some weeks she said no. I asked her at the start of this week, do you want to come to watch the girls play in the semi-final on Sunday? Without hesitation, yeah, I'll come. So that's a wee five-year-old who's already fangirling, so that's what we like to see.
That's amazing.
That's what I want to see. I'm actually just trying to find up the stats for London game just to remind myself. And I went on the WBBL site, and the stats aren't there on the WBBL site for that game.
Yeah, I mean, not to get uber critical, but it's not always easy to plan for commentaries when you've got to search various sources with contrasting information and try and judge which the best are.
Because that night you had people like Robin played 36 minutes, Zoe Sharp played a big 5 minutes. That one, is that the right game? Because I feel like, yes, it is. Yeah, I felt she played a lot more, so maybe this is wrong what I'm looking at. We had Erin with 19 points, Abby with 16 points, which I think a lot of them were in the first half. Chantel got 17 points in those two big three throws towards the end. So, on to the next one. And we've got to find out some justification from Mitchell early on why, within his takes, the trophy final was not mentioned.
Okay. Am I going to start this off?
Why we're waiting to find out your explanation for a lack of historic moments.
Okay, caveat, it's fourth. It's fourth on my list. But my top three were London quarterfinal, where we beat them at home. The Leicester game, when we were in Leicester, and we had an incredibly depleted roster and had our best result in Leicester for the entire year. And the third one for me was Bristol, the win against Bristol in Bristol. Now, the reasoning why I don't have the trophy final in there is more so because of what happened on the build-up to the trophy final. The game itself was phenomenal, and the narrative of it is incredible. And as everyone has already mentioned, it's a storybook ending. You can't write it any better. But for me, the weekend before was just as exciting, just as foreshadowing of the final than the final itself. So let's flash back to the week before the trophy final. We had Leicester on the Friday and Surrey on the Saturday. Leicester, we went with a depleted roster. Prince Onwas got injured in the game and couldn't play anymore. Fero Ali Hodzic got double technicals in the first half and didn't play the entire second half as a result of that. He was left in the change room and could not come back out. We finished the game.
Jeremiah Bailey's filled out early on as well.
I didn't even remember that bit. So thank you for that. We finished the game with Fraser Malcolm at the five, Johnny Bunyan at the four, playing a zone defense against a notoriously good shooting team. And we only lost by about 4 points. Like, it was unheard of. And considering that every other game we played against Leicester in Leicester this year has been a blowout loss, it's unbelievable that we did that. And the guys fought to the end, gave everything they had, and it was a fantastic result despite the fact we lost. And I stand by that it was an incredible game for me to be there and be in the presence of it. When you see that the fans in the building actually worried that there's no way that we're going to lose this game against this bunch of guys, and we were that close, so you could feel it in the air. In the building, you felt the concern of, we might lose this game against the guys without three of their starters.
And if I remember right, you also told me there was a few guys struggling with illness.
Uh-huh, that there was. And then so, they played the next day in Surrey, beat Surrey, but they made it close as well. That whole week, I wish I could put that whole weekend as the game of the season, because it was just... It was incredible. It truly encompassed what the new ownership and management are emphasizing of the Gladiator way. They fought to the end for both games and gave everything they could for every minute they were on the court. And the minute that we made it close in Leicester and we beat Surrey, I already knew the final was going to be a win. You could feel it. It just made sense it was going to happen. Came in on the day of the trophy final, and I was just like, I knew we were going to win. I just had faith in the team. And I said it to all the staff, and I said it to other people, other fans, well, like, just believe it's going to happen. And that's my reason why it's not on it, because I think the other games were just as exciting. The London Trophy quarterfinal, no one could have predicted that. That was unbelievable. The passion you saw from the players when we knocked them out of that game was unbelievable. Johnny yelling, like, giving his all, still sticks with me from standing on that bench. and just being there for that moment, it was just incredible. And the Bristol win was there for a very different reason. David Sloan went off that game. It was just a masterclass of David Sloan at his finest. And I loved every second of it.
Mitch, you've stood up for yourself well there. Just going back to that Leicester game, and it was one that I had on my list, which is unusual to have a loss. But when you think it's a 3-point defeat on the road to Leicester, it's also all the situations you said. 3-point defeat, it was on Sky Sports. It was just one of those mad games where as a pundit or a commentator, you're calling that. Prince Onwaz, you're right, he got hurt. Kyle's playing. We had basically four guards and Fraser Malcolm at the five. Fraser Malcolm that night finished with 14 points, 6 rebounds. It was just insane, wasn't it? And I suppose I'll let you off air. Obviously, filled out. I think Jeremiah only played 13 minutes. So I think he filled out first half as well.
He must have. Or maybe two techs again. Or no, I don't even know. But maybe he didn't play. I can't remember. It was all a blur of this craziness. But if he only played 13 minutes, he must have got fouled out of the game.
Fair enough. Well, he did get fouled out because he got 5 fouls. Hodgie, what's your games of the BBL season?
So is this games or is it moments?
Oh,
is it specifically BBL or are we a combo? Break down your category and I'll...
This is BBL. So because WBBL, we've said, is a London win.
Right, WBBL was a London win. And so one game I'm going to include for the moments, which is the fairly recent game against the Surrey Scorchers. Just in the kind of middle of last month, Caledonia won 102-77. Faro Alihodzic got 21 points. Jeremiah Bailey got 18 with 11 rebounds. But the moment, or the moments that stick in that game, was when Will Kemp came on at the end and absolutely blitzed it. Got 7 points and was just, and he was part of a young contingent on the floor. It was a blowout win for the Gladiators anyway. But there's nothing energizes me more in sport than when local boy does good, right? Young guy comes into the team and just does what he'll, I'm sure, believe he was born to do, which is play basketball. And he went out there and he was cutting and he was attacking. And earlier in the season, there was a game where he strung the three brilliantly and I went ballistic. And I think it is probably reflected in my commentary that when a young player comes on and really makes an impact, like, I can't help but vibe off that. And it was brilliant to see that for Will in that game. And I think it was just the perfect way to cap off a blowout win for the Gladiators. So I'm going to put that one at number 3. Slightly controversial. At number 2, I am going to say the BBL trophy final, because it was insane. Like, I mean, this is just my personal list.
Why did you just lasso the air, Mitch?
Because I'm not the only one that didn't vote for it first.
I just think, like, that was incredible, right? And it was great for me to be there at the occasion. I think I said this before and, like, on the pod, but I thought it was going to be in the other hall. I didn't know it was going to be in the big hall for the final. But then I went in and I was just blown away with the size and scope of the spectacle. And obviously it ended in storybook fashion. There could not have been a better advert for the game than what was produced. And that was all thanks to the Caledonia Gladiators. Amazing. But the game I'm putting first was Caledonia Gladiators 52, London Lions 50. That was, and I was lucky enough to commentate that alongside Kieran Achara, and it was just a game that defied logic, description almost. It was something, and there was a lot of pressure. A lot of people think, oh, you were playing the London Lions, there wasn't a lot of pressure. There was an incredible amount of pressure in the Gladiators because you were playing like a second or third string version of the London Lions at home, and it was your probably primary chance, you would say, especially given that the final was played in Glasgow, to win silverware. So there was a lot riding on that for Caledonia. And they went out and, in true Scottish sporting fashion, made it watch through the cracks in the fingers and bite the nails to the quick type stuff. But they got it done. And Al Durham, 24 points, accounting for 52 overall for your team. Incredible. And a game that was just walls and walls of defense and people not able to make a shot for love nor money. Al Durham was just blitzing through it like a medieval battering ram. He was the siege engine that broke down that London Lions wall. Absolutely cracking. And that game, it was an emotional journey commentating it and for everyone watching it, I'm sure, as well. So for all of the emotions and the great outpouring of emotion after the BBL Trophy final, I think I felt a greater spread of them in the London game, because the BBL Trophy final game was, it was just, it was, I mean, to be honest, despondency, despair, pressure, nerves, despondency, despair, little bit of hope, though, more nerves. And then eventually it's like we go from five to three, and then it's like, oh, right, we could actually do this, the expectation. And then the end of that game is incredible. The end of the London game was a different emotion. It was almost like a relief, but not any less relevant, I don't think. So from a personal standpoint, I'm putting that London game first.
This is insane. We're going to have an MVP vote here. This is like the NBA when first votes don't go the way I just assumed everyone would choose. So for me, number one was the trophy final. Number two, I put the Leicester away trip because that was just a fascinating game to watch. And then the London quarterfinal for me was number three. So I think when you add up them all, I think the London quarterfinal gets the Gladcast Award for game of the season. Can't believe it.
That's mad.
I can't believe it. Anyway, I'm moving on in disgust. So So heading on, kind of our final club-based award, we have got the Young Player of the Season Award. We have seen, especially on the WBBL side, four girls constantly getting playing time throughout the season. And on the guys' side, we have seen pretty much similar, with three or four guys getting minutes. On the WBBL side, we only nominated one person. So the WBBL Young Player of the Season is Zoe Schmidt. And I think we've already commented on how amazing it's going to be to see kind of her growth and development with the franchise, being so young, really banging into it. When you're playing with role models like Chantel Handy, Erin, Robin, it's some learning environment to be in.
Definitely. I think she's, from watching her from the sidelines and what I have, she's just been incredible to watch. I've not seen a young Scottish woman have that level of talent in this country and be able to compete at the highest level against the best competition that the British game has to offer. She's just been incredible from start to finish, and she's been an absolute pleasure to watch.
Rona, what do you think?
Yeah, she's solid, and yeah, I say yeah a lot, but I think she's going to have a good future ahead of her. And I think a lot of it, especially at that age, yes, we can talk about skill set and stuff, but it comes down to what's between your ears. I was actually talking to that about my class today, making them do long distance running. And it's not easy if I can. And Zoe very much
did that skill.
She will, we partnered it with shot putts, so you know it was fair. But she's definitely got it between the ears. And I've seen her be very hard on herself, and she listens and she wants to learn and she wants to develop. There's like, from what I've seen, there's no like arrogance or anything about her. She's not got the swag. She just wants to come in. She wants to put in the work and grow and be the best player she possibly can. And I think that's, those qualities are more so what coaches often look for than are they shooting 50-60%, you know, 2-point shots, or can they do mad ball handling skills? Because those things you can develop in someone, but actually what's going on inside your head is something that at any age, if you can get a player who's solid in that, you know, they're worth their weight in gold.
Brilliant. And then on the other side in the BBL, the Young Player of the Season, and Hodgie, you summed up that his impact in the Surrey game perfectly, was Will Kemp. Hodgie, any more you'd like to add on that one?
Flame-haired sensation Will Kemp sets fire to the bucket anytime he's on the floor. No, brilliant. I think, Will, the good thing about him is he does seem to live and breathe the sport, right? And I think it's, I mean, I'm kind of envious of all of these young players that are having these opportunities somewhat, because I had no access to basketball when I was growing up. So there's an element of me when I'm commentating, living vicariously through these people. But yeah, it's been great to see we will, but more so for me is just seeing the influx of talent that is beginning to kind of break in. Like Matthew Keegan put up a post on his Instagram story where it was him dunking backwards in the gym. And I'm just thinking, right, obviously it's different just kind of doing it yourself in a gym and somebody filming it. But at the same time, the fact that there's just a Scottish guy that can do that kind of thing and may well be doing it in a competitive environment soon, I buzz off it, man. And it's so, so good to see. But I think in a season where a lot of these young guys have come in and had a chance to do the BBL thing and get a taste for it, I think Will is the one who has maybe just taken those opportunities that little bit more readily. So I think it's a very deserved award. But everyone, Jack Henshaw, and we mentioned all of the girls and the women's side as well, it's brilliant to see, and I can't wait to see even more of it.
Yeah, the future is bright for Scottish basketball on both ends of the team. One thing I actually remember making a note of at the trophy final for the men's side in particular, we had six different Scottish basketball clubs represented on that bench across our youth players and our coaching staff and our main rotation. Six different basketball clubs from across Scotland. It's incredible. And you'd like to think that that'll happen on the women's side as well. Obviously, the women's Gladiator side is absolutely dominant and has got a very strong youth program. And that's credit to the staff of Lady Rocks of past years to help nurture that. But they are setting a precedent across the board for that every club has to match and emulate if they want to be at this level. And you get credits. You see, you look at this top players for both the squads, and Scottish players are there. There's nothing to say that our youth programs, like the likes of William, Jack, Matthew, Zoe, Sally Campbell, they can all have an impact on the squad going forward. They can all have a massive sort of influence on where the clubs will go.
Brilliant. Everyone, I think with an hour and 8 minutes on the clock, we should kind of bring this to a close. Thank you guys for coming on the show tonight. And Rona, thank you for making an appearance. Have you got, Rona, I think it'll be good for if we can get what you think as a final word to everyone, why they should get down on Sunday to support the girls.
One word, wow. The only words that come to mind are yeah and definitely, which I say far too much. If you maybe get Hodgie to talk, I'll just talk over him, because that's when I do my best work. So if you maybe get him to start to say something light, and I'll just cut right in. Why should they come down? Why wouldn't you? What else are you going to be doing? I can guarantee I've not brought anybody along. I've brought kids along from school. There's been teachers come along. Friends have come along. Nobody has come along and not enjoyed the experience and been blown away by just what is on offer and watching the players and being able to get behind the players. And it's going to be something different for a lot of people, and that's about 47 words, so I'll stop.
Do you know what? Just on that note, I'll cut across the end of you just to dovetail it quite nicely. My best mate and his missus went along to the last double header that we had, and although obviously the women's team absolutely smashed it, and then the men's team, the disappointment and defeat in the end, but they said, this is amazing, we're going to be coming back. So I think it is a case, there's maybe a responsibility in all of us and anyone listening to this that's properly ingrained within the basketball culture in Scotland and beyond to just spread the word of this sport. Because what we want to see is we want to see arenas getting filled, don't we? And that is, for me, the next kind of stage of the evolution of basketball in this country. And then eventually everyone's going to know our name, and now you know.
Brilliant. Mitch, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Hodgie, thank you for joining us this evening. And Rona, thank you very much for coming on tonight. And hopefully this was a fun evening for you as well as us talking about basketball.
joyful experience.
Brilliant. All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy the rest of the season. Good luck to everyone playing this weekend. And we'll see you next time on the next episode of the Gladcast Basketball Podcast.